now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
All right, everybody, welcome back into Sports Daily here on a Tuesday. Jacob Albrecht and TJ Cleland with you for another hour here. We've talked a lot about the Patrick Mahomes situation. It is a torn ACL and a torn LCL. Already had surgery on it last night in Dallas, Texas, and all accounts are pointing to a nine-month-ish recovery period, meaning it's early next year. If you missed anything in the first hour, be sure to go back on the Odyssey app. You can listen to everything in podcast formulas. I have Wyatt Thompson in, voice of the Wildcats, as they continue to manage through the Colin Klein situation, as well as basketball season nearing closer and closer to conference play. Jacob, what are we digging into next year? Are we going to keep going with the Chiefs?
Yeah, I think we can finish some thoughts. I mean, it's just, This is uncharted territory for Kansas City for a long time to need a reset. And, you know, really, like, it's even longer than Mahomes. You got to go way back, like way back to the last time they've needed to sort of reset organizationally. And I'm not totally sure everybody's going to be bought into that either, by the way. Like, you can make the case that it just didn't work out because of misfortune this year. That's not even a bad case to make, right? Like, Josh Simmons was the right pick. He looks good. He left the team, all those things for a variety of reasons. You lost Xavier Worthy on a crosser on the third play of the season, and he hasn't been able to come back. He didn't have Rashee Rice for six games. You can make the case that if Mahomes is back, that they could continue to try to do some of those same things. But the problem for me is those same things are now another year older. I'm a little more concerned about some of the things we saw from Mahomes this year, obviously before the injury. Like, he's not invincible anymore. Like, he doesn't, everything he does doesn't turn to gold. What does that mean? I still would take him over any quarterback right now. It just means, you know, maybe things in a little bit more structure. Maybe it's just an evolution, and the great ones do it all the time. And I fully believe that he will, but, you know, is it Mahomes throws the ball 50 times a game? Like, is that the best path forward? I would love to know what Andy Reid thinks about that.
I know. That's just Andy Reid's offense that we've seen for 9 years of what they want to do. And so,
I mean, and they did, you know, they did a lot of that with Alex Smith too.
That the question that is so interesting to me about the offensive scheme, we kind of talked about this in the last hour, is like, people don't like the play calling and the scheme. It's not as electric as it used to be. And so what does everybody do online? Let's go fire the offensive coordinator.
Who
calls the plays? Like,
who builds this thing up? Right.
I don't know.
I get it. Look, if you're going to have a whipping boy, fine. Like, the offense was better with Eric Bieniemy than it has been since Eric Bieniemy.
Like, but why? Like,
I don't know.
Tyreek Hill was there.
I have no idea. I don't know. I know that Yes, Tyreek Hill is underrated, by the way. Tyreek Hill is like a Hall of Fame caliber, game-changing player that it didn't matter if Mahomes made a perfect throw. Hill just went and found the ball, right? Like, those are, we take that for granted sometimes. But what's crazy is right after he left, they won a Super Bowl and had another offense, a different-looking offense. And that's the thing. Like, the Tyreek Hill offenses were different than the post Tyreek Hill offenses that still put up mega numbers and won a Super Bowl. So there can be evolutions of this thing. And the Mahomes injury, just, it feels to me like it is a, okay, drop the curtain on that version. And what does the next version look like? And how quickly can they get back to it here? We still have to see a player who's never had an injury like this. It would benefit Mahomes for the first, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks of the season while he's, that's the thing, like, he's recovered from his knee surgery, you think he's going to just going to hop right back out there? I mean, he could. But what does that look like?
It'd
be nice if he only had to throw it 30, 35 times a game for a little while versus 50.
That's another part to think about of all this stuff that we haven't really talked about is that no quarterback has ever come back from an ACL and probably will have to throw the ball as much as Patrick Mahomes has if the current state of the Chiefs stays the same. Like, is that possible to do? Does that link? I mean, I imagine that makes your rehab longer to try to, you know, stomach the workload that he takes on for the Kansas. Like, people make jokes all the time about, like, they're going to kill him out there. Like, if you have a torn ACL, I'm not sure what's obtainable.
Well, he's going to have to get it back. Like, he won't run as much. I heard, Rich Eisen, I think it was yesterday, who's kind of with me, by the way. I felt a little better. Because I've been, you know, like, don't stick a fork into him until they're totally dead. And he had a take that went a little bit viral yesterday of, and obviously he's not talking to a Chiefs-based audience every day like we are. But his point to his staff, who've been giving him a hard time about it, like you guys give me a hard time about it, is, like, that's fine. You guys are going to miss them in the playoffs. The AFC playoffs will not be as exciting without the Chiefs in it this year.
I was just thinking about that, of like, It sunk in that the Chiefs are eliminated from the playoffs and that these next three games are just going to be so weird to watch. But, like, my brain doesn't comprehend that there's just not going to be Chiefs football in January until we get to January. Like, you know what I mean?
Even if you're a Chiefs hater. So it's funny. I live in Chiefs Kingdom, have covered the team now for a very long time. But the majority of people that I talk to every day that don't live here hate the Chiefs. And that also, like, you're going to miss them when they're gone. Every playoff game is better that they're in. You can want them to lose that. It's no different than the Patriots. Tom Brady games were more exciting. Love them or hate them. Like, they just were. And so we won't have that this year. But that was an aside. I think it was Eisen yesterday that pointed out Mahomes has the most 10-yard touchdowns for the Chiefs, like, every year. Like, it 10 or more yard touchdown runs. Like, they have just had no explosion in that running game for a very long time. And it could totally change the look of everything if they could find the way to do that. And the other thing about that is it seems like the fastest thing that they can do. Like, the thing that they can do with the least amount of effort and roster. Like, you literally at that point, you have your offensive line. Hell, maybe you bring back Juju Smith-Schuster, who's a premier blocking wide receiver, like, whatever. You really only need to drop one player in for that. And it happens to be a player that you don't have to spend that now premium draft resource on if you don't want to. So that's why that makes the most sense to me. But I'm telling you, like, right now, to me, when you look at Jones a year older, and he's age has clearly gotten to him, all the pass rushers they're going to lose, the secondary people, their defense has a chance to not be very good next year. And credit to them this year, because it had a small chance to do that this year. They're probably not keeping McDuffie. They're, like, all these defensive linemen are going to be gone. Like, it's going to be a total rebuild, and they better hope some of the players they took this year develop, because they took a bunch of them. Man, that's my concern is, and to your point, the other reason you'd like to run the ball is to help out your defense, and they may need it next year. If the goal is to try to be competitive next year, then you've got to be able to run the ball.
It's interesting. Back to the running game, I had a thought here is the fact of where do you consider the Chiefs' offensive line? Like, with the pieces they have when healthy, like,
it's top half.
I mean, it's good.
Very, like, good. Yeah.
Like, Creed Humphrey is probably the best center in football.
In the conversation, yes.
Trey Smith is right there. I mean, and the rest are
the highest paid. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, so,
yeah. And I think what we saw from Josh Simmons has a chance to be a
like,
top 10 left tackle.
That's the thing. Like, we've talked about how much they've invested in this offensive line to get it to where they want it to be. Like, is it just a good pass rush offensive? Like, we've never seen them play in that kind of way.
Creed Humphrey can move. They're in,
that's why you pay right guards. Like, you know,
and maybe Kingsley Suamataia, who, you know, it's unfortunate that after the season he had last year, the season he's having this year hasn't been allowed to get the attention. But man, what a phenomenal bounce back for him. Like, you feel fine about right tackle, even when Jawan Taylor ultimately is going to be gone because he's too expensive. Their offensive line should be the strength of the offense next year. I don't know what that means as far as how, what their ultimate ceiling is, but you know, it sucked this year. You had injuries. Almost everybody but Creed Humphrey, knock on wood, has been injured this year. And Josh Simmons stepped away from the team for a while. But the line should not be any concern next year, I don't think. We've got some viewer comments on it. We can continue the conversation. Did you catch any of that Monday Night Football there, TJ?
No.
We'll talk about the playoff implications of it and look around the NFL. We'll be back to them.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Sports Talk on KFH presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. We are making our way through here on a Tuesday. We are getting you through the latest with Mahomes. If you missed it there in the last hour, successful surgery. Looked like there was a little LCL to deal with. And the general consensus is around 9 months, which would be right around the start of the regular season, maybe a little time missed. So the opportunity, Brett Veach, if you're listening, is still there to make everybody's dreams a reality and make Jameis Winston a Kansas City Chief this offseason. Can the league mandate that we get some – you might lose T-Swift. You might lose – you know, Taylor and Travis. So if we're looking for, you know, the Chiefs to get some, Jameis Winston's your guy. Can you imagine the conversations between Jameis Winston and Patrick Mahomes on the sidelines in week 8? Man, got to make it happen. Got to make it happen. Still time. Austin asks us, by the way, you can get in touch with us a variety of ways. You can call us 869-1240. You can comment on our video streams, Facebook, YouTube, and X. The mute button sneeze is what you just, the gap in time there. I don't know if I'm getting old. I don't know what's going on. But for a
just adds.
For basic cold to linger now into week 4 for me has been something.
I just appreciate all the dramatic pauses this show has been
put me down.
For the next 2 months, for the last 2 months.
Put me down. Just take me out back and get it over with. All right. Austin asks us, what's our take on Chris Jones? What do you do with him? Well, I mean, he's under
contract. What is there to do?
It's a good question. He's under contract. I think I'm glad to hear, by the way, So against the Texans, that second half, I'm watching it and I keep thinking, and I can get hyperbolic. I understand that. But I'm like, this is the best Chris Jones has like ever looked this half. Like this half of football, there cannot be a better half he's ever played. And apparently it was his highest graded performance ever, the second half of that game. So that made me feel good about that. But I think you got to understand, like, that's still there. But what we haven't been able to see is that all the time. And that's a product of getting older, I think. Chris Jones's colds probably last a week longer, too, now than they used to. It takes him longer to recover. You know, he came up lame in that game, too. I wouldn't be surprised if they take it real easy with Chris Jones here. He's still, like, he is as impactful a defensive lineman, certainly as a defensive tackle, as we've ever seen, right? It just is. It's insane. It's insane that he played at the same time as Aaron Donald, or we will be having a very different conversation, I think, about Chris Jones historically. But he is one of the top five defensive tackles, in my opinion, that's ever played football. He's been unbelievable. He just can't capture that all the time. He needs help, no. Right? And honestly, like if you could get a pass rush in there to where he can't be double and triple teamed every play, he probably becomes a much better player too. So I think that he's got enough left in the tank that I'm totally good with Chris Jones for, you know, I don't know how much longer he wants to do this, but he's, you know,
the question I think that poses the most out of this is like Chris Jones at the end of his contract is going to be 35 or 36 years old, I think 30, 35 years old. Like, and it's a back end, like in 2028, he's going to make $44.8 million.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen, but everybody's always known that. He's known that. That's how these contracts go. I could see Chris Jones riding off into the sunset. I could see the Chiefs having to make a cut and him, you know, giving it a year or two somewhere else just because he loves it. I mean, like Kelsey's going to be Chiefs or die unless he's got some Cleveland thing where he wants to go play for the Browns or something. Like Kelsey's Chiefs or die. Yeah. I don't know that that's totally the case with Chris Jones. I think it would be a great story if it was, but we'll see. I think he's got those knee braces on and he came up a little hobbled in this last one. And it's so hard because like these guys have known nothing but winning their entire careers. You know, Kelsey, not so much, but Jones and Mahomes and all these guys. So
I saw a stat this morning, by the way, sorry to interrupt here. The only player on the roster, I think that has ever missed the playoffs is Travis Kelsey. I think that it might be him and James Winchester, I think, are the only two.
Yeah, that would make sense. Winchester, by the way, is an unrestricted free agent. If you look at the daunting list that the Chiefs now have to face.
You got to bring him back.
Hey, don't you?
Yeah, he's Mr. Chief.
I know. That's what they all said about who's the old punter? Dustin Colquitt?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't bring Dustin Colquitt? What are we doing? We had an old producer. Shout out to Hendo. That we gave him such a hard time because he was having a genuine like panic attack that they were going to not have Dustin Colquitt. And we're like, listen, it's great. Everybody loves their guys. He's a punter, man. They'll be fine. So I don't, Austin, to answer your point, I think he looks fine. It's not going to be, you know, young Chris Jones. He's going to be in bursts still really good. And boy, they would sure help if he had some help on the defensive line where it seems like he gets none every game. And we'll see about that George Karlaftis contract. This is what I feared. Karlaftis is, to me, like an average defensive end in this league. And he didn't get overpaid necessarily, but they invested a lot in him. And that's a contract they're going to need to – they'll have on the books for a while. They've got to have to draft the help on the defensive line that they need. They already have. What do they have? $60 million invested in Karlaftis and Chris Jones. Like you can't go fix that with free agency. You're going to have to draft some defensive linemen that can generate a pass rush.
Drafted a defensive end 2 years ago, was out for the entire year this year.
Didn't work out. And they haven't been good at drafting pass rushers for the most part, depending on, you know, Karlaftis and what you think of that. Elsewhere around the league. So we see Pittsburgh kind of flex on Miami that, Miami's done with Kansas City. So that AFC playoff picture that looked so wild and crazy 2 weeks ago is down now to two teams that aren't currently in having a chance to get in. Both of their best chances, well, Baltimore's best chance will come through the division, and then Indianapolis has a variety of ways they could still do it with Phillip Rivers, if that's the case. But it's Phillip Rivers. They have the injuries. We've talked about how difficult their schedule is down the stretch. Probably the last thing to determine in the AFC is, will it be Baltimore? Will it be Pittsburgh? And they play again, I think. So that's, you know, we've still got 3 weeks left, TJ. And if you go into the NFC, where Detroit kind of needs a miracle, Carolina is still battling it out with Tampa in the division. Dallas blew their chance and every chance they've had. We're kind of like there's not a lot of doors open with 3 weeks left in the season like there normally would be. Mm-hmm. It's sort of separated a little bit this year.
And the NFC is still pretty crazy, isn't it?
Not really. Detroit has an outside chance. They're 8-6. They got to make up 2.5 games, I believe, or a game and a half on Green Bay.
You're right. We might see a lot of eliminated football this year.
It's going to be tricky watches that last. I mean, there's probably there are things to determine as far as like seeding goes, which how, you know, that's sort of exciting, I guess. But it's kind of being determined. We may have like the last 2 weeks of the year where we normally have the last week of the year. So, but anyway, brings up my bigger question. The Chiefs are out. This was yesterday. I heard this conversation a lot since Sunday, and I love it. If you're in Chiefs Kingdom, you want the Chiefs to win. Whoever your team is, my team's out, the Cowboys. Who is the right team to root for here? Like, who should we be rooting for?
I don't know. I think about this too. Is like, I don't know how you are as a sports fan, and I think I tell people this all the time. Like, backstory, just to open the curtain here for everybody. Call me a homer if you want. I don't care. I grew up a KU fan, and like, you know, the traditional KU, like, wouldn't touch the color purple, like all that stuff. Then I started covering the teams, and within a week of covering a K-State game, I was like, this is pretty cool too, you know? And now, and I tell people this all the time whenever they call me a fan of anybody, like, I'm a fan of the teams I cover, like all 10 of them. Like
100%.
We root for the teams that we talk about because when they're good, our jobs get better. And that's what happens there. And now, like, I remember when the Giants beat the Royals in the world, like, I blocked the Giants on social media. I hated Madison Bumgarner. I was an anti, I hated this team. I hated this team. And like, I talk to people all the time who are just like, I can't stand, like, my day gets better when the Chiefs lose, if you're a Chiefs hater, et cetera. Like, now that I do this, I'm like, what the hell are you guys? Just root for your team and the rest is just the rest of the league. Like, I don't have any animosity about other teams. Are you the same way as me?
No. I hate the Eagles with a fiery passion.
I hate the
49ers with a fiery passion. Wow. I would prefer that neither of those teams win. Everybody, I don't particularly like Green Bay, but that's rooted in as a kid being a Cowboys fan and kind of what you were just talking about, but not as much anymore. But yeah, I'd prefer that the Eagles or the 49ers didn't win a Super Bowl. That'd be nice. I despise the Houston Astros. So yeah, no, I'm not that way. There are teams I dislike greatly. Huh. I think that my
sports watching now has turned into the fact of like, whatever, if the Chiefs are out of, and if the Eagles win, I had a thing for the Eagles after, you know, some of the Eagles stuff, like if the Eagles went and won a Super Bowl, like my brain will just go to like, man, that's pretty cool. They won back to back. Jalen Hurts won back to back Super Bowls. That's pretty nuts. Absolutely. Like, no part of me is going to be like, God, that sucks. Like,
absolutely. You know? By the way, TJ, nobody over the age of probably like 30 knows what sports washing is. So you're going to have to explain to people what that is.
Sports washing?
Is that what you just said? Or did you say watching?
I said watching.
Sports washing. Like,
no,
some,
no.
Some
we're not getting political.
Gen Z term. I'm like, I don't know what that means, man.
That is a thing. That's a political term. I'm not going to talk about
that. Is that something that I've said that's inappropriate? I've heard it, but I don't know what it is. Like, we make up new words for things.
Yeah. We'll talk about that after you. That's not a big deal.
All right. So I think that there is a correct group of teams to root for here. How do you not root for Buffalo?
It's true.
Like, how are we not all?
They're such an interesting one because they've been a Chiefs rival in the terms of a rival, but everybody likes
like the Broncos,
you know?
Right?
But everybody likes them still. Whenever they play, all the fans are like, oh, it's Buffalo. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, we all like Buffalo. The Jim Kelly, like, they almost got there, right? Like, Buffalo. But Josh Allen's so awesome, and that fan base is so awesome. And, you know, when it wasn't getting beat by the Cowboys, which, you know, for 4 or 5 years might have been the best teams we've ever seen in a shorter amount of time. And then it's the Chiefs and Mahomes, and it's like, man, can we just get Buffalo one? Can we just get the Bills one? Chiefs fans won't agree with me on this one. I think the Chargers would be the other one for me that I'll probably pull for the most. My wife and in-laws are big Chargers people. So that's another fan base that has just been kicked in the junk time after time after time. Really great teams, never good enough. Finally got there 1 year and got housed by the 49ers. Got their team pulled from them and moved to LA. Like, I think that would be a good one. I'm also a big Justin Herbert fan. I mean, we've got an Aaron Rodgers story to follow here.
I mean, I'm at the point, I think, Jacob, to give you my answer, is that of the AFC teams that will be in the playoffs, or even the teams that are still have a chance to get in the playoffs, as long as it's anybody but Denver or New England, it'll be a good story.
See, I think New England is a good story.
It is. It's a good story, but it's not as feel good as the other stories, I think.
No, probably not. But man, Vrabel's return there after being so cool. Stupidly cast aside in Tennessee.
And everybody likes Drake May.
You're correct, I think, on that. Nobody wants to see Denver do it, I don't think. I don't think people like Sean Payton. Nobody wants to buy into Bo Nix. Like, Denver's kind of turning into the bad guy to me. Especially around here, obviously.
I need to see, if it's not going to be the Chiefs, like, I just need to see a World Series type of matchup that was the Diamondbacks versus the Rangers. Like, that's what I need this one to look like. Like, Arizona's in the World Series?
So if you want that outcome, you're probably going to need like a Bears versus Jaguars, God, I think, to get that sort of, and that's not going to happen, but like, that's what you would have to have. I think the Bears are a great story. There are some good ones. Houston behind that defense, could they do something special? It sucks that the Chiefs aren't in it, right? Because it's just a little more interesting that way. Can Lamar somehow sneak the Ravens through and do the thing in the postseason that he's never done? I think there are clear teams to root for, and there are clear teams to root against here. The Broncos, the Eagles, the Niners, the Packers, absolutely not. Don't want any part of it. I don't want to root for the Steelers, but I'm kind of in on 45-year-old Rodgers throwing the birds. It's kind of cool.
Mike Tomlin? You just got to root for Mike Tomlin.
I know. I just don't like the Steelers as a rule. But this is kind of a cool one. I love Mike Tomlin, and I don't love Aaron Rodgers. Please don't misunderstand. But the fact that they're doing it, I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. Like, I'm a little in on that. Yeah. Obviously, Rivers, could we get Phillip Rivers? Can we get the Colts in the playoffs? And can the planets align and we see Phillip Rivers go to Pittsburgh and Rodgers and Rivers play in the first round? I think that's possible.
Is he going to keep starting? Do we know?
Yeah, he's starting this week.
Is he really?
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. Unless something's changed in the last 24 hours. The expectation was for him to start again. He didn't look bad. He looked fine.
But at what point do you... say, hey, we got a 23-year-old. We could just develop him.
But I think the Bills, like Bills Bears, is probably your storybook.
Bills Bears would be awesome.
Bills Bears would probably be the storybook.
As long as it's not the Broncos, the Patriots, the Rams, or the Eagles.
You'd have a problem with the Rams? I don't have a problem with the Rams.
I like the Rams. But they just won one more recently than everybody else.
They have, and so has Tampa. I don't have a problem with Tampa either because Baker Mayfield now.
Baker Mayfield would be a great story.
I don't know that they're, to me, is like this heavy favorite either. I think it's the Rams, but Davante Adams is now dealing with a hamstring injury. Is it the Rams? If Davante Adams isn't there, he leads the league in touchdowns this year. I mean, Stafford gets down in the red zone. It's like, where's Adams? I'm just going to throw to him. Right. So this is a postseason I can get behind, but it'll be weird. Not as somebody who's covered the Chiefs, like just as a fan of football, to not have that clear and concise for the rest of the country, public enemy number one. It was the Patriots, and then it was the Chiefs, and it was pretty seamless. There's always been the love them or hate them team in there. I don't know that they're in there this year.
I agree.
All right, TJ, we didn't get a chance to get to this yesterday, but over the weekend, the Royals made a pretty significant trade. You guys were giving me a hard time. It was right in the middle of KU going to overtime and everything in the world. But I'm like, hey, the Royals just kind of made an interesting trade. I think you guys thought it was because of Zerpa. It just wasn't because of Zerpa. Because I've had some issues with Zerpa over the years in the way that he's been utilized. Had nothing to do with Zerpa. That's who the Royals traded away. It's who they got back for just Zerpa. They got as Isaac Collins, who, look, that's not a name that probably moves a lot of needles for most baseball fans, but he's a pretty good player. There was a time last year where he was legitimately in the running for Rookie of the Year. Now he's a 28-year-old rookie, right? More likely is a utility type player for the Royals. But then they also get Nick Mears, who profiles about the same as Angel Zerpa out of the bullpen. I believe he's a righty, though. Either way, the Royals fill kind of a need here. I hope that the answer for them in left field is not a platoon of Lane Thomas and Isaac Collins, but it certainly could be. Collins, though, played some second base last year. He played some third base last year. We saw them tidy up Michael Garcia. That's another story we haven't really followed here yet. These things have been happening over the weekend and at the winter meetings, and we've had these nuclear bombs dropped on us. But they extend Michael Garcia, which I was really glad to see. So they're kind of tidying things up so far this offseason. But that one big move that I don't know that they've still made, unless it's this Collins trade.
I think they'll still make another move. But Collins is a guy that I think could be an everyday player for sure.
I think he could be. I think Lane Thomas could be too. Like those are high upside players.
Lane Thomas is an interesting one because he, which is not what the conversation we're having here is, but side note is that he has had some success and had a kind of a breakout year and then didn't pan out last year and he got a contract then didn't pan out. Now he's here. They got him cheap. And, you know, you hope you can rebuild him into something that can be a guy that can, you know, platoon in or even be somebody that could be that good. But Isaac Collins is a guy that, you know, as you said, he was a chance he could get the Rookie of the Year last year. Like, if he can find a way to sustain that, you're not going to get a ton of them. And that's why they got him for Angel Zerpa. But, like, if you can get a couple of years of that kind of production out of him to put in left field, like, that's huge. I think that they will go get somebody. But now my brain goes to the fact of, like, maybe it doesn't need to be, you know, an outfielder. It can be somebody else if you can find a spot for him, obviously. But, like, it doesn't feel like there's such a gaping hole in the outfield anymore.
Well, you're going to have Garcia at third. You're going to have Bobby Witt Jr. at short. You're going to have Vinny Pasquantino at first.
The hole is basically outfield or second base or DH, basically.
Right. And Collins can do all of that. I don't know how much now I would even say there's a hole at DH because they made their decision to call up one of the young catchers and Salvador Perez is there. So I don't even know that there's a hole at DH now. You basically have left field and second base, and to have as many guys as you can that can kind of do both is probably not a bad thing. We know the Royals and JJ Piccolo like to have that flexibility, right? We've seen it for too long now. We know they want it, and probably some center field too. I think Lane Thomas can play some center field if he needed to. But you hope Jack Caglione is just your right fielder. And, you know, at maybe someday he can be a first baseman, but that's not what he's going to do right now. He needs to be a right fielder. He needs to spend his entire spring being the best right fielder he can be. Use a good arm out there, which is a good thing to have.
And I don't care if he's the worst fielding right fielder in baseball. Either.
I don't either.
He hit 40 bombs. That is great. He could make 100 errors.
Have a strong throwing arm, which he does.
He could make an error every other game, and I would be tickled if he could hit a home run in every other game too.
That's right. I agree. So now the question becomes, they have the depth that you would want there. That's all in place, right? Does it have enough pop? Are we comfortable enough? Are the Royals comfortable enough to, and they still have Jonathan India too, right?
Yep. They avoided arbitration with him.
So you're looking at is it enough in the offense? And I think that they could walk into next season with roster in place, and you could say, okay, like
they feel maybe significantly better than they were last year.
Oh, I don't think that. I mean, you're counting on really to say that is that they're healthier, which could help, yes. Right? Cole Reagans is healthier, but that Jack Caglione takes that next step. And to me, that's like true. We've that's still got to see that happen.
I guess that's the big question mark, but like, they have patched the holes that like they patched a hole. They didn't, make the hole better, but they patched the hole. If Collins can be something of that nature, if those guys can platoon and fill left field, you could maybe upgrade at center field a little bit, but they like Kyle Isbell a lot, but like if they rolled out, if they didn't make another move, they could roll this out and it should be a playoff team. I don't know if they went and made a move and got Ketel Marte, who is a name that keeps getting floated out for some reason, or even Jaron Duran or somebody else to help out in a big way. Like, then it's a team that's like, this team should probably win the Central, mate. Like, I don't know
right now. Yeah, and it's especially if the Tigers trade Tarik Skubal.
Exactly.
Right now, the Royals are picked, third if you're looking at World Series odds. The Guardians are 30-1, the Tigers are 30-1, and then the Royals are 40-1. So right now, like, the odds makers are telling us, we don't know what's going on in the Central, but the Royals at 40-1 right now before they potentially make that trade.
So win the Central,
pretty good spot. No, to win the World Series. God,
I was going to say, good Lord.
Yeah, but I mean, honestly, like with the starting pitching that they have and an evolution of Jack Caglione, and I'm not saying it's likely. It's obviously not likely, but if you're going to get in on the Royals, you probably want to do it now, because if any of those trades that you're talking about happen, if they do the thing that we've all kind of thought they should, those odds will skyrocket.
Yeah.
If they brought in Ketel Marte today, those odds are going to skyrocket.
I mean, right? that feels like that's a dark horse team with Ketel Marte. Like, if they can pitch the way that they've pitched, that's a good team.
They're a dark horse team anyway, right? They're a dark horse team because they have so much pitching depth that it sort of lessens the risk of injury, right? Like if they decided, we just kind of want the pitching depth, then you're raising your floor up by doing that, because you're like last year, if they didn't have it, they'd have been toast, but they had all the injuries and they were able to sustain it for most of the season. It's really, to me, it's the Cags factor. There isn't a player out there, even Ketel Marte, that potentially raises up the ceiling of this team more than him taking the next step of his, of his career, if it happens. That's the most impactful thing that can happen for the Royals. That and Colton's being back fully healthy.
The Cags case study is just so interesting, because like, if you look at the stats, what saying is scorecard doesn't have pictures and everything like that. If you looked at the stats, you'd say, it's kind of a disappointment season for him. But then for us that have watched, we watched majority, if not every single game of him since he got called up. Like, he hit the absolute piss out of the ball. Like, Like, and that's just baseball, and it sucks.
He was unlucky. You're right.
But he's unlucky. And, like, you hate to say that because, baseball's the game where you don't want to sit here and say, well, it's just bad fortune. But, like, I had never seen anybody happen to them as much as it happened to Jack Caglione last year for months. Like, he was he was lining out with 111-mile-an-hour exit velos. Like, if you can just continue that and get the fortune swinging back your way, like, he'll be fine. Like, that's what I think about the Caglione situation.
I do too, but he's got to stop, he's got to fix some things too. I think he's going to be better. At minimum, he's going to be at least a little bit better, right? Like, just for the luck factor. So I think that the move to make is still to bring in another big bat. Like, why be satisfied? Why not go try to be one of the best offenses in baseball? Why not have an offense start with Garcia and Witt and Vinny and Salvi and Cags and insert name here? Why not?
Yep. I agree.
That's the thing. We keep thinking of them as this team led by starting pitching, and they will be. They could easily be a team led by offense. But for 2 years now, I mean, we're having this conversation with the Chiefs. How many times do you run it back? For 2 years now, this offensive has left way too much meat on the bone. So even if Cags does come up, does that make them a more clutch team? Or, yeah, if Ketel Marte is really available and you have all this depth in the starting rotation, you have the catching depth that they have, go get Ketel Marte. He's not expensive related to his peers, and he's signed up for forever.
The Royals offense is so interesting because, like, they – I agree. Like, the offense wasn't good last year. But the thing is that they had Michael Garcia, who is a top 10 average hitter in baseball, Bobby Witt Jr., who was the hits king in baseball, Salvi, who went on a power surge halfway through the season, and like they've got so many, like they all like are good hitters and they put together good averages, but they were just so bad at scoring runs. Like, and that's baseball. I understand that, but like, you can't change any. Like, you can't ask them to do better than that. You know what I mean? Like, they just have to score the runners in scoring position.
It's 2 years of that now, too, by the way.
I know.
Marte does not have the Royals on his no trade. He has a no trade, and there are teams on there. It is not the Royals. Here's, you know what he reminds me of? And I'll tell you this as a Rangers fan. Royals fans may not be, like, in on him. He reminds me of Adrian Beltre. When the Rangers went and got Adrian Beltre, I'm like, yeah, he's a good player, but like he's been around forever. He's kind of older. The Rangers signed him in his age 32 season, and he was an MVP candidate almost every year. And as became my favorite baseball player ever. But it's because like he brought the energy, and like that's kind of how Marte profiles right now. He's going into his age 32 season. He's undervalued across baseball. He has been tremendous the last 3 years. Unbelievable.
He was an MVP candidate 3 years ago, right?
So, well, I mean, he's been one of the best players in baseball for 3 years. He was third in MVP voting 2 years ago. Had he not been hurt last year, he does have a little bit of an injury history, which makes you nervous, but his contract's not out of control. And it is in the range that the Royals could probably make work. It's just, you have to factor in his contract with getting Vinny Pasquantino signed up, but you have Jack Caglione. Like, I think it makes a lot of sense if he's actually available. I don't know how available he actually is. I don't know why the Diamondbacks would trade him.
In a two-week span, we've seen Chris Kleiman retire, Colin Klein get hired, Patrick Mahomes blow out his ACL, the Chiefs miss the playoffs. Let's add one more, and the Royals go make a big move.
Go trade for Shohei Ohtani. That's been
a
couple of weeks. All right, that does it for us on Sports Daily. We'll continue to follow the progress today, see what comes down for Patrick Mahomes and that recovery, see if we get any more indications of timelines. But we'll have that for you and can discuss tomorrow. We've also got basketball tonight. Darren Peterson, how much does he play? DJ, I guess we'll find out. It sure sounds like they're just going to keep going with what they've been doing.
They said they're not sure. I would be interested. I could see a world where he does not play tonight, but I think the plan is for him to play tonight. But I'll be tuned into the Towson Tigers.
Shreyas Lotta will be in tomorrow to discuss everything that's been coming down with that. And the big game for Melvin Council Jr. Shout out to him for all the Big 12 Player of the Week awards. We'll have that tomorrow for you. For TJ, for Max, thanks to Wyatt Thompson. We'll see you tomorrow.